Welcome to Joy on Paper Radio. I am your guest host, Bria Burton, here in the studio in beautiful Clearwater, Florida. We have just had the wonderful opportunity of chatting with Greg Gaws here in the studio. He's going to hang out a little bit while we chat with our next author. And before I introduce Nathan Van Koops to you all, I'm going to have Big Ed play a little book buzz about his book, Electric Midnight. Go ahead, Big Ed.
Hello, fellow sci-fi readers. This is author Bria Burton reporting for Joy on Paper with your science fiction book buzz. Today's communique to galaxies near and far includes a 2021 release in print, ebook, and audiobook, Electric Midnight by Nathan Van Koops. This is book two in the Paradox PI series, and book three can't arrive quick enough unless it could time travel. Now, let's download the book buzz. In the vein of futuristic noir detective stories with heavy doses of pulp, and where high-tech androids called synths roam, street-smart private detective Grayson Travers encounters a synth with a glitch, who winds up dead. Travers hits the streets of Port Nuongo, a Blade Runner-esque city on the Gulf of Mexico in Florida, following a lead from a coin the synth left behind. Soon, the TCID, a time travel authority, finds a reason to hassle Travers, despite his witty comebacks. With no reason to detain him, he's free for now, but his troubles with that organization escalate with every new piece of evidence he discovers, which includes a suspiciously convenient job offer from United Machine, the synth-making corporation who hires Travers to find the synth killer. When Travers needs a safe haven from all the heat and the underworld dregs that get their sights on him, his trusty time-traveling muscle car fitted with an AI named Waldo offers a ride to the Rose and Crown, a time-traveling inn that caters to clientele like Michelangelo and Samuel Clemens, aka Mark Twain. As Travers gets closer to discovering the truth, he realizes the killer might be closing in on him. This action-packed time travel mashup is a page-turning thrill ride with a likable hero, clever twists, and a richly imagined future. Author Nathan Van Koops lives in St. Petersburg, where he teaches writing and publishing classes with Keep St. Pete Lit, and has had a career in aviation for over 20 years. This is Bria Burton with your futuristic fiction fix, signing off.
And welcome, Nathan. I am so thrilled to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I loved that book blurb. That was so much fun to listen to.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. The book was so much fun to read.
Your blurb makes me want to read it again. Honestly.
Okay, there you go. That is the whole purpose even doing it, so that people will want to read it. Yeah. So I just want to mention to everybody, you and I both happen to live in St. Petersburg, and I met you through some neighbors. They used to be neighbors. They don't live in the neighborhood mm-hmm. anymore, but it's just so neat, these little connections where they introduced me essentially to your books because they just were friends of yours. And when you first, I think, started writing your, I'm going to get the title wrong. It's like the chronometer, but that's not right. I'm sorry.
The Chronophone, yeah.
The series is called
In Times Like These, but the second book is called The Chronophone. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. You had that series out, and I have yet to grab that, but when I saw your PI Paradox series, I was like, oh, this is right up my alley, and I just dove in. And I don't think I realized I was in possibly the second book when I picked up mm-hmm. Electric Midnight. But that's the great thing about some of these books is that, you know, if you have a character who just is holding the story and he's the lead in each one, but they kind of almost stand alone. You've done a great job mm-hmm. of that, I think, of people can jump in the middle or they can go through in order. And that's something that I think a lot of authors strive for when they're writing more than one book in a series.
Yeah, and I think that's especially important in a mystery.
Yeah.
Because mysteries are inherently episodic, you know, where, you know, somebody gets murdered in the beginning, we want to stick around till the end to see who did it, and
right.
you know, there's no use dragging that across multiple books, but we can join back up with the hero again, you know, solve the next mystery and have a good time doing it. But we can, I love it when people can close the book and be satisfied but
right.
and still curious, which is, you know, I don't leave anything hanging the point where they don't feel like they had a complete story, even though they can certainly follow the characters along into the next adventure.
That's a great way to put it. You want to leave your readers satisfied but still curious. I mean, that's a great way. Yeah, I love that. And we're going to get into these books, but first, you recently put out a newsletter. I get your newsletter where you talked about being an Amazon number one bestseller. Let's talk about that a little bit. Hello. That's awesome. Yeah, congratulations.
That was a lot of fun. It wasn't number one in the entire store, but it was the number one mystery on Amazon, and it was number four in the store for Audible.
Wow.
Which was fantastic. It was a deal that Audible did on my book Tropic Angel, which is another mystery. Mm-hmm. And if you liked Grayson, you'd probably like Week Angel, my contemporary hero. He's a pilot who also gets tangled up in murder mysteries, but instead of time travel as his skill, his skill is aviation, being a pilot.
Right, so, which we'll get into it because you are also a pilot.
Yeah. True.
Yes.
True. And I based that again in St. Pete. So just like the Grayson series, I started him off in St. Pete. And then, of course, you know, you read Electric Midnight. He ends up in Port Yongo, which is down the coast a ways, but and in the future,
yes,
quite a ways.
Yes.
But I do like kind of grounding the series here in St. Petersburg, like the original series in times like these, which is Ben Travers, which is actually Grayson's father. His story starts it all, and that takes place in St. Pete. He originally time travels back to the 1980s in St. Pete and then branches off from there into the rest of the multiverse. But it's kind of fun, you know, grounding it in a little bit of real-world stuff where the readers can, you know, recognize the things, find their way around.
Yeah, and so was it one of those things where you just, like, pulled up Amazon one day and saw, like, oh, or did they alert you to that?
If I was better at reading my email, they would have warned me in advance that this was going to happen.
Okay.
And they did it for me. It was kind of a surprise. They're very hard to get, these particular, because they just push one book all day on Audible. And that's just it. Like, they just push the one book for 24 hours. And it's amazing how well it does. And I've also already done, they recently did a deal on my first series in Times Like These, and back in November. Well, they did a kind of a monthly deal on that, and that's probably my best-selling book to this point. Mm-hmm. Was this? I have a box set of the original four series of the In Times Like These time travel books, the Ben Travers series, and that has done incredibly well because it's such a big story that the stories themselves are already long in Audible. You know, 14. 19, I think the Chronicle is 19 hours by itself.
Wow! Yeah.
So this whole box set is like 60 hours of audio of, you know, time travel adventure stories for a single Audible credit.
Okay.
Which is an astoundingly good deal.
Yes.
For people.
Yeah.
So instead of having to buy each individual audiobook, they can just get all four, the whole series in a bundle. And then, interestingly enough, actually, the Grayson Travers books, the first three of those Paradox BI books are also available in an audiobook bundle if you want to get them.
I do want to get it.
Yeah, there you go. There's four books in the series altogether in the Grayson series, but three of them you can actually, the first three you can get in that bundled box set for an Audible credit, which is great.
Okay, yeah, that's wonderful. And
yeah.
So this Tropic Angel, so not sci-fi, but still in the mystery detective theme that you have going with.
Yeah, it was still, I wanted to go to mystery detective a little bit more, and I learned that if you want to, so originally I wrote time travel, and it's very much time travel adventure. And then I thought, you know, I had this interest in private detective. I was reading a lot of, like, Spencer books and some of these other kind of, like, classic mystery stories. And so I nudged Grayson. That's where Grayson came from. Grayson became my private detective because I loved private detective stories, but I was still, my audience was largely time travel. So I said, well, you know what, I'll write a time-traveling private detective.
Yeah.
Yeah, that goes.
You were merging your audience where you wanted them to go.
Yeah, I was kind of nudging them that direction.
Yeah.
But then, so the Luke Angel books are kind of a departure where I said, okay, you know what, I'm just going to write a straight mystery thriller. It does have kind of that Florida coastal vibe along the lines of, like, Travis McGee stories, John McDonald, or there's a lot, some other authors, if you're familiar with Doc Ford's, White series.
I mean, you've eaten there many times, right? Have we all?
Yeah.
I don't know if you have, Greg. Okay, we're going to have to tell Greg, go eat there. It's delicious. And the author is a local Florida, he's a Florida author.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah, he lives down in Sanibel Island. So, like, there's a already kind of an existing genre.
Yeah.
You know, Carl Heisler. Those of you who have seen Bad Monkey, that was recently on Apple Plus. Bad Monkey was based off of a Carl Hiaasen book,
okay,
which is based down in the Florida Keys. I just finished reading that, and the sequel is also hilarious, really funny.
Okay.
Florida detective fiction. So there's,
yeah,
there's already an existing genre.
Yeah, it is like its own subgenre,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's a niche. And I kind of took what was existing and then put an aviation spin on it.
Okay, okay.
Like I said, because, yes, because I've had that 25-year career in aviation, I decided, you know what? You know, everybody needs a thing, and normally these guys all live on boats, and Luke does too. He lives on a boat in the marina, but his day job is actually flying a seaplane. So,
yes.
I'm like, you know what, it's still the same, but just a little bit different. Why don't I use my authentic experience as a pilot and as an aircraft mechanic and things like that, and add that into, I don't know why it took me so long. You know, I've been writing for over 10 years. I've been a pilot for over 25. I don't know why it took me so long to finally combine the two things, but I'm here, better late than never, right?
Yeah. So, well, and it just, it kind of took its course. Like, you wrote what you wanted to write, and then, and then you got there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, congratulations on that bestseller, even if just for a day. That's really cool.
Yeah, it hung out there for a couple of days, which was nice. It had that little orange flag.
Exciting.
Doing great.
Oh, awesome. Well, so let's talk about Grayson Travers. So how did you, what were your inspirations for that character? Would you say he was kind of a mashup of several ideas, or was he kind of just your own, he came from your own experience, or what kind of developed with that character?
You know, I think that the kind of classic private detective is, like you mentioned, it's noir, it's a little gritty. Those of you who've watched Blade Runner 2049, or you know the original Blade Runner, that was obviously an inspiration too, but I loved Blade Runner 2049. I thought that particular world was fascinating. And no matter what it is, the private detective is always someone who is a little down on his luck. He's usually broke. He's usually not doing it for the money so much as he's doing it for, like I said, an inner sense of justice. Usually he's got, you know, he's a loner. He's someone who, by nature, can walk this sort of gray line in between good and evil, or just, you know, like the grittier parts of life, he can walk down these streets. There was this famous quote by Raymond Chandler, and it says, "Down these mean streets, a man must go who is not himself mean, who is neither tarnished nor afraid." And I love that line. And that's kind of like the model for all of these characters, all these private detectives, who they're not afraid to get their hands dirty. You know, they're not saints when it comes to their relationships with women and all these other things. They kind of go places where the average, they're a little bit of an anti-hero, I guess.
Right,
And it makes them so much fun to write because, okay, they are a little bit more violent. They are a little bit more aggressive maybe than we would be in our day-to-day life. They walk that line and associate with people that we wouldn't want to associate with. But in doing so, they become the only person in that story world who's capable of solving the mystery. And part of it is because they are a hero in the sense that they are willing to sacrifice. Like in this case, they've sacrificed social life to be a loner. They've sacrificed money to be a private detective. They've sacrificed, and throughout the course of the story, you'll find Grayson getting beat up. You know, you'll find Grayson being down, like, he'll be, you know, the time police are basically after him all the time.
Right.
They're giving him a hard time. The people, like, the hero takes the punches. And he has to be able to sacrifice in order to get the ultimate goal, which is to solve the mystery. And that's a big part of the genre, especially in the noir. It's not always a happy ending. Like, Grayson's stories tend to be generally pretty satisfying endings, but a lot of classic noir, you know, Chinatown, stories like that, they're kind of ambiguous, or they're gray, or they're just unhappy. Even, like, the lighter fare, like, for example, I love this story, The Nice Guys, with another Ryan Gosling, which is fun.
Uh-huh.
And, it doesn't necessarily end happily, you know?
Uh-huh.
It ends, the mystery is solved, and the heroes, they do prevail, but the overall world still remains.
Right.
Even if Blade Runner 2049, the main villain of Blade Runner 2049 gets away with it. Like, he never really gets brought to justice. You know, the lower minions do, but, and the mystery is resolved. But, you know, that's part of the noir aesthetic.
Yeah. And you do a beautiful job of painting the aesthetic and even just that future setting and some of the places he has to go. And I have to talk about Waldo, his AI car. Like, tell us about the car. How did you come up with the car?
Yeah. And I think a lot of the kind of neon noir aesthetic, if you look on like Pinterest or there's a lot of fun like 80s references in there. It's almost like this futuristic 80s world.
Right? Yeah.
The vibe, the neon.
The future according to the 80s. Exactly. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's a great vibe. And it's something I was really into when I was writing this story. And so, of course, one of my favorite heroes was Michael Knight and Knight Rider.
Mm-hmm.
And just the whole concept, like my grandfather even had a talking car in the 80s, it was a Chrysler. And I even put it in one of the stories in the fourth book of the series, Tomorrow Detective. I put that talking Chrysler in there because I thought it was so much fun. Like, it would say like your door is ajar or like your seatbelt. And like in the 80s, we thought that was the future, like talking cars was going to be the thing.
It does.
And, I'm still a little bit disappointed that they're not, honestly. I wish my car
with all
more of
the things that a Tesla can do, it doesn't really talk to you. Okay, yeah.
Still doesn't have a conversation with you. But Waldo is this fun character where, you know, Scott Bakula's character had his little AI friend in Quantum Leap. Like, it just kind of gives you this foil. And Waldo, as an AI, I was really able to, like, dial up the snark level on him. Where he doesn't necessarily, he's not just doing Grayson's bidding, he does, he's his AI assistant, but he also gives him a lot of grief. And it was so much fun for them to have those moments of dialogue where Waldo can kind of ground Grayson and be like, by the way, you, good luck driving down the freeway at this speed because you're out of gas.
Yeah.
We don't have any money. And, you know, we're going to be out, you know, cruising on empty here in 10 minutes. And that those were kind of the fun things I could do, but also just having a time traveling car, of course, goes back to the Future, and I'm like, that was just so much fun, and I loved that series so much as a kid.
Oh yeah.
And in my mind, you know, Marty's adventures with the DeLorean were infinite. You know, like what you could do with that car.
Yes.
And you'll see again if you go on Pinterest, you'll find that the DeLorean lives on in a lot of art. And that kind of neon noir future, you'll often see similar cars. And then also the 68 Mustang is kind of a throwback to like the 70s, 80s era of action hero, which I really liked. So not just Knight Rider, but also just the idea of the hero with the car, which was big from Rockford Files. He was obviously famous for his Rockford turn where he'd back up and do this screaming 180 and go the other direction.
Uh-huh.
Bullet. There's so many great action car movies that were popular in the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s. And I wanted to like add that element in. So you'll see Grayson in car chases. And there was even like a whole playlist. I was listening to Kavinsky. And there's this great song he has about this ghost car that the police are chasing and it vanishes. And I was just like, man, that's just exactly what I want. I have that, you know, kind of thing in the background of my head, that synthwave music. I had a whole playlist of synthwave as I was writing this, just to really get in the mood of this world. And it was just so much fun. I had a great time.
Yeah. Oh, it's fun to be in there as a reader. It's you've done such an excellent job of just completely engulfing the reader in this whole world. And yeah, I will say some of my, when Greg and I were talking, because his book has an AI character as well with a lot of snark, and it doesn't it just lend itself to being that type of character. And that's something in my own writing. I have a short story with an AI with a lot of snark. And so, you know, it definitely just that trend, I hope it never goes away, because to me it's one of the more entertaining, consistent, if you want to just call it a trope, it's one of the more consistent tropes that I think just often works almost bar none.
Super. Yeah.
When you have
super
an AI
fun.
That has just this like real sarcasm or whatever the AI, you know, is doing, but that there's almost this foil to whatever the human is trying to do. So you employ that very well with Waldo. And then, just as you're continuing to write, is this a complete series now? Because are there, I think I saw there are 4 books in the series now?
Mm-hmm. There are 4 books in the series, and it does a good job. So book 4 kind of finally wraps up a little bit of Grayson's origin story. You know that he has this dark past in the first 3 books. You don't exactly know why. And it's alluded to. And then book 4, it was almost, for me, it was an exercise in like mental agility trying to write this thing, because I wrote part of it and part of it goes in reverse. So, you know, each book I write.
Well, it's time travel. You get to do that.
Yeah. You do. So it was very challenging. And so while we're telling a linear story from Grayson's point of view, we're also telling a reverse linear story from the another character's point of view. Mm-hmm. It's very like Memento in that way.
Oh.
I love that method. And it's just for the first half of the book. The entire book's not that way, but it kind of tells the same story in 2 different directions. And so by the end of that first half, you have a new revelation about Grayson at the midpoint, which kind of reveals a lot of his backstory, which was a lot of fun to write. And I just had such a good time doing it, and it's a really satisfying conclusion. And I think when I got to the end of it, my brain was just so knotted from the time travel of trying to write, not just wrap up a book, but wrap up, you know, 4 books, essentially, and via time travel, because it is not an easy genre to write. I will.
No. Oh, time travel? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. The plot holes. I mean, people will find them because they essentially have to exist. I know that there's always the story of the Terminator, and people talk about, like, in the second movie, why did they not know that they were sending it again? Like, how would they know to send 2 Terminators back? Like, why wouldn't they just assume? But then somebody else would come back and say, well, they had the first future, and then they were built again anyway. And so you have all these ways you can kind of work around the plot holes.
Multiverses. At some point, the reader has to just take the leap. But I had to make writing it. So I did come up with it. The whole reason I have a career as a writer at all is because in times like these, the very first book I ever wrote, I thought about the time travel premise so hard, and I just conceived this reality of how this system would work, and I made it work within the limits of the story. You know, like, as long as the physics, as long as you don't break your own rules, I think the readers are happy. They know, like, just like watching Interstellar or something like that, where you're like, okay, they're using physics, and they're kind of tweaking the physics a little bit to suit the purpose, but inside the boundaries of the story. They're not breaking any of their own story rules. So it's satisfying.
Yes.
And that's kind of the rule I went by. I was like, okay, I'm going to define this multiverse. I'm going to create this method of time travel, which I called, like, anchor-based time travel. Mm-hmm. And I very clearly drew what the limits were and the drawbacks and the dangers, and I stuck to that. But it got complicated, I will tell you. And then when you have a time traveling detective trying to create a mystery,
right on top of it,
that is, and have it be difficult enough of a mystery that a time traveler couldn't immediately solve it,
right?
Because the idea is that, well, why not just go back to when it happened and see what happened, and that, so you have to make a mystery that is layered enough and complicated enough that even a time traveler has a hard time figuring it out. And that's a lot of work.
Well done, sir. Because I think you've accomplished something really impressive with this series. And I've got a copy of the 4th book, so I'm really excited to dive into it. I'm holding it up for readers, for those who are watching, to see the cover of Time of Death, the 4th one. So tell everybody.
Time of Death is actually the first one. Time of Death is the first book.
I'm sorry, the first one. Okay, I had to go back because Electric Midnight is the second one, right?
That's true.
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay. So tell everybody, because amazingly, we're already running out of time. Tell everybody, where can they find you, website, social media, that type of thing?
Sure. Go on NathanVanCoops.com. My last name is 2 words, VanCoops. If you go on NathanVanCoops.com, you can get yourself a free time travel story called Clockwise and Gone, kind of introduces you to the world a little bit, and then in the back of that you'll find a sample of End Times Like These. So you can grab that for free. And then that'll get you on the newsletter too and get you hooked up with all my fun emails, and that'll introduce you to a lot of the series. And of course, just look up my name, Nathan Van Koops, on Amazon. You'll find all of my time travel books under Nathan Van Koops. Then you'll find my Tropic Angel and Tropic Descent are actually under Nate Van Koops. So those are my contemporary mystery thrillers. So you can find any of those on Amazon.
Thank you, Nathan. I really appreciate you coming onto the show, and we will definitely have you back when your next book comes out.
It has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Thank you so much. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Greg, for coming on. Do say if you have any last word for the listener. We are out of time.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and it was very fun to be here and get to listen to Nathan as well.
Thank you, Greg. And listener, get out, get these books, get reading. And as always, enjoy the rest of your day. And we will talk to you next month with our next Sci-Fi Hour. Bye-bye now.